Poetry Rocks Tool 7, the Envisioning. And the purpose is to focus on geography, chronology, and furniture as necessary content and to practice deliberately weaving them into your work. And this tool can be used in any genre to strengthen your writing. And as I said in the last tool, I'm very grateful to Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Maxine Cumin because she came up with these wonderful terms. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background on this. I think these words, geography, chronology, and furniture, are such a nice way to think about these important aspects of what comes into a poem or any writing. And these really are true, just as true of prose pieces as they are of poetry, that you really do need to have geography, which is a sense of place. And in literary terms, geography is another name for setting, and there are all kinds of where words, both general and specific, that can give readers a sense of place and make setting come alive. You can use names of rooms, like my grandmother's kitchen, any word that conveys a house or a home, highways and boulevards, streets and roads, Lexington Avenue, addresses, neighborhoods, towns, cities, counties, states, countries, continents, lakes, rivers, mountains, any of these things. You could just go on and on with setting. And whatever we write about always does originate somewhere, just because our bodies exist in space. And you don't have to often use much more than just a few words or just a phrase to give people a sense of place. And you don't even always have to name the place. An object can do that for you. For example, if you have the word stove, that's actually a geography word because we'd expect to find that in a kitchen. And just like our readers need to know where they are, and that makes a difference for them, chronology is also really important because that is the when and gives readers a sense of time. And this is actually also a part of your setting. You can weave a sense of time into your poem or into your prose with just a few words or phrases or a lot of them. And there's a lot of general or specific words that you can use, a time of day like 8 a.m. or evening. You can use days of the week, dates, months, seasons, centuries, a person's age, and also moments in a lifetime like births and weddings, deaths, graduations. There's just a whole lot of things that you can do. And one of my favorite capturings of a when is in a poem by Maria Mazziotti-Gillan called Ordinary Days. And I have a link to that if you want to see how she does such a beautiful job of weaving chronology into her work. And then the last of these setting details, because all three of these, geography, chronology, and furniture, all have to do with setting, are sensory details or stuff from the real world. And a poetic word that we use a lot for furniture is the word image. And in literary terms, an image will often be something we see, but really all our senses are images, because if we are hearing or tasting or smelling or touching, that's another way of bringing a world vividly alive to the reader. And if you want to enjoy a poem that's actually a poking of fun at what Billy Collins calls the plentiful imagery of the world, you can listen to Billy Collins read his poem Litany. I have a link for that. And if you've never encountered Billy Collins, he is a very funny guy. So that's what you need to know about geography and chronology and furniture, to just think about using them in your writing. And now, to do the envisioning, here's what to do. And you're going to be creating a poem from a photograph by using the geography, details of place, chronology, details of time, and furniture, the sensory details that you can either see or imagine in a photograph. So the first thing to do is to select a photograph that has emotional importance to you of any kind for any reason, and just study it for a few minutes. Let the image speak to you, and then jot down some words and phrases that capture all three of these content areas that we've been talking about. And you may be able to see them in the photograph, but you can also go outside the photograph for them, either through memory or through your imagination. So start with geography, any where details, and we've already talked about what those are, chronology is the next. What words can you, and phrases, just capture the chronology, the time of this place? And lastly, the furniture. And you may not be able to use all five senses. It just might not, when you look at this picture, they may not all show up for you. But see if you can list some things from each of these different areas of the senses. So what you can see, things that can be heard, things that can be tasted, smelled, and touched. And you can also put in other physical sensations of the body, like movement. So once you have done that, then take as many or as few of your words and phrases that you listed and write your poem, and keep editing until you're happy with what you've created. And I think you've figured out by now that most poems go through a number of drafts. Every once in a while you might get one that will just pop out, but often they do take some time to shape. And here's my example. My mother was a saver. So many years ago, when my daughter was very young, my mother sent me a large box that contained all the clothes of mine I'd worn as a girl that she thought were worth keeping for my little girl to wear if I would have one, and I did. So I came across a photo of my daughter wearing one of these dresses I wore when I was a little girl, and I remembered what she said when she wore it for the first time, and I used her words, "This is furniture," as the centerpiece of this poem. And I have here listed the words and phrases I gathered ahead of time to capture geography, chronology, and furniture. And I don't know if I used all of these in here, but they're all at least suggested or show up in some way. So this poem is called Dressing for Summer. And I actually, just like Neil von Holly addressed his fly, I addressed my daughter. So again, a poem of address, Dressing for Summer. You are three, twirling in a dress with a red frog, appliqué on a crisp white skirt, a candy apple and white striped bodice. You twirl and twirl, delighting in this dress that came today in a box from my mother, a dress I wore when I was three. I'm going to wear this dress to the summer, you say, as if summer were a party to wear a favorite dress to, which I see now, thanks to you, it is. And once you've written your poem based on the envisioning, then here's a reflection for you. To what degree have you already been including geography, chronology, and furniture in your writing? What do you see the value is in doing that? What do these details provide for a reader?